Hey, good morning, Harbor. It's good to see you guys. Thanks for being here this morning. Hey, before we get started, I wanted to share with you some exciting news. After praying about this for months, after sending out a survey to all of you and getting your feedback, and we put together a team to help us start getting back to weekly worship this summer. Our goal was kind of this May time period, at least to have a plan. And though we're not quite ready to be in the building yet or in weekly worship just yet, we are certainly taking steps towards that, safe steps towards that. So we are excited to announce that 3 weeks from today, we are going to have an outdoor worship night. And so we wanted to give you this date so that you could save that. The date is May 23rd at 5 p.m. So again, that's 3 weeks from today. It'll be on the property that's owned by Grace Community Church. It's going to be a great time of worship and prayer, but more importantly, just being together again. So we are super excited about that. And I personally am pretty excited about it because I'm planning to be there as well. So woohoo, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope that you'll be able to make it. We're going to send out more details about this in tomorrow's e-update. It's just the first of many things also that we're going to be doing throughout the summer to get back on track towards weekly worship, jumpstarting all of our ministries. So we're excited. We hope that you are as well. So now let's jump into our message. Now that we have that quick announcement out of the way, we are continuing our series called The Almighty, as Danielle mentioned. It's about making sure that we're pursuing the Almighty God rather than the almighty dollar. And last week, we talked about these two things that drive not just the markets, but the human heart too, fear and greed. Today, we're talking about the word free and some other concepts too, but I want you to remember that word free. My basketball coach when I was in college, he was an interesting guy to say the least. I loved him to death, but he was just a character. We'd stop someplace for lunch or dinner, and he would haggle with the restaurant manager like the prices were negotiable. And so he would try to get some kind of deal before any of us got off the bus. He would ask for three dinners. If we bought three dinners, could we get one free? How about two steaks for the price of one? How about you throw in the dessert bar at no charge? And to his credit, he usually got us something. He'd come back on the bus and he'd say, "Gentlemen, my two favorite words are free and complimentary. I got us a deal." Coach loved the concept of free. So this one's for you, Coach. But the free that we want to talk about today isn't just about free meals or deals. When God talks to us about freedom from money, there's always two aspects of that freedom that we have to understand. There's both the freedom from, and then there's the freedom to. There's freedom from, and there's freedom to. For example, a financially free person is free from the burden of worry and anxiety when it comes to money. We're also free from impulsive spending that we end up regretting later. And we're free from potential conflict with our spouse or our significant other over money. I'm saying that that alone sounds pretty good, wouldn't you? But that's just a focus on the problem. That's a focus on the slavery aspect of it. We haven't even talked about what we're free to do yet. A financially free person is free to enjoy what they have instead of being obsessed with what they don't. Free to be generous with others. And quite frankly, a financially free person is free to sleep at night. A study done by the American Psychological Association found that money is the leading cause of stress for most people. And I think most of us can somewhat identify with that, right? Well, a whopping 72% of respondents said that they felt financial stress in the last 30 days. Some experts, all, and by the way, I'm sure that it's more than that. During the pandemic, some experts would even say that it's the leading cause of divorce, money problems. And if you've ever been around somebody who needs marital counseling, it's oftentimes part of what the problem is, if not the entire thing. So God wants us to be free from the things that enslave us so that we can be totally free to enjoy him, so that we can be totally free to trust him. And that is what today is all about. So if you want to be free financially, free from all this bad stuff and free to experience all this good stuff too, here's what God says from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money. Remember, that's our word today, free. Notice it doesn't say keep yourselves from money. God isn't telling us that to be free, we have to take a vow of poverty or basically live completely broke. It's not money that we have to get free from. It's the love of money. Now, as soon as I say that, you might be thinking to yourself, that's not me. I don't love money. But my problem with money isn't so much that I love money. Our problem with money isn't so much that we love money as much as we are in love with it at times. We may lay awake at night thinking about how to get more time with it. We might think about what we're going to do with it when we're together. We might even lose sleep when it slips away from us. It's so easy to have that kind of relationship with money where we feel like it can bring us true joy and happiness. So when God says, keep yourselves free from the love of money, he's talking about our relationship with money, cautioning us not to be in love with it. And so here's one more just quick, easy litmus test to know whether or not you love money. The Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10 says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands in a moment like this, but let me ask you this question. Who here would say, yeah, I'm satisfied with my income? Because honestly, I couldn't say that. For me, the two things that we talked about last week, it's not about greed. At least I don't think it is. But I do have a fear that at times the choices that I've made to be in ministry, that the choices that Julie and I have made to go plant a church together, that we may not have enough later in life. Now, I know that probably doesn't feel like a very pastory thing to say, but I'm just trying to be honest and real with all of you today. And by the way, my Enneagram personality and my subtype is one that says I'm wired by God to take care of the people that God's put me, that's put around me, my friends, my family. The last thing I want to do is put my wife or my kids at a disadvantage because of the choices that I've made. Even though God has always taken care of our needs as a family, it's so easy to fall into that way of thinking, isn't it? That says if we just had a little bit more, that would provide us the security that we need. I may not always be thinking about being a millionaire. In fact, rarely am I thinking about that. But a fear about not having enough can be just as toxic to my soul, to your soul, as thinking about that all the time. All right, so what? If we want to be free, if we want to be a free person when it comes to money, here's what I really think that we got to do. We got to break up with money. I don't know about you, but have you ever had a friend that you had to talk to that was in like a really terrible relationship, codependent, abusive, whatever, where you finally had to tell them, hey, they are not good for you. You're miserable. You're unhealthy. You've got to end this. I'm that friend for you today. Okay. You got to break up with money. As hard as it may be to change that relationship, we've got to do it because it's the only way to be free. We could practice, okay? So we've got even a little slide here with some money on it, I think, right? Yeah, there we go. There's good old George. Look right up there at George on the screen and repeat after me. I like you, but I don't love you. From now on, we can only be friends. Now, that probably sounds a little too much like Dr. Phil. From now on, we can only be friends. Terrible Dr. Phil impression. I apologize for that. But yes, this is supposed to be kind of funny. It's supposed to be entirely sarcastic, okay? But I'm dead serious when I say that we've got to end the way that we currently relate to money. That part, I'm serious about. And if we're serious about that part of it, then there's one key word that we're going to need to look at in this passage from Hebrews 13:5. It's the word keep. Keep your lives free from the love of money. The word keep tells us that breaking up with money is not a one-time thing. It's got to be a daily, if not moment by moment, thing. We have to keep on doing it. We all probably have had an experience where we broke up with someone, right? And we know that it's one thing to break up. It's another thing to stay broken up. I'm sure there has been either someone that you have known, or maybe this has happened to you where you've gotten out of a dating relationship, but you just didn't have the strength to stay out of that relationship. Or maybe it was the other way around, that you tried breaking up with someone, but they just wouldn't leave. Breaking up is one thing, but staying broken up is another. It's like, I don't know how many, I mean, I can't even tell you about how many movies there are where one person breaks up with a person and then that other person becomes like a creepy stalker. Know that money isn't going to just go away either in the relationship. The problem with chasing the almighty dollar is if you ever stop chasing it, it'll start to chase you back. And that's why it said in the text the last week in Matthew chapter 6, you can't serve both God and money. So now, how do we get out of this crazy relationship? How do we stay out? Well, the next part of that verse from Hebrews gives us some direction. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. In order for us to break up with money and to stay broken up, we need to start a new relationship with contentment. That reminds me of this spot in the Bible where the Apostle Paul and Silas were in prison for telling people about Jesus in Acts chapter 16. And my guess is it is a far worse place to be in prison. It was a far worse place to be in prison than our 21st century, our Western jails. Paul and Silas, they were in chains. They didn't know where their next meal would come from or if they would even live to see the light of the next day. But they were content. So content, they were singing songs in worship to God. They had nothing, even in prison, but they were free because they were content. Now, for me, that story makes these words from the Apostle Paul even more profound. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, he goes on to say. Paul developed this long-term relationship with contentment. It can be very tempting, I think, to think that if we just owned a place of our own or lived in a certain neighborhood or even had a certain kind of car or the ability to take certain kinds of vacations, that would finally make us content. Our infatuation with money and stuff has kept us from enjoying the freedom that we were always meant to enjoy. Being content with what I have. Scripture describes this challenging, committed relationship this way in 1 Timothy. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, you've probably heard, or many of us have heard that verse before, right? If it were, I want you to think about it a little bit differently. I want you to think of it like an equation. And if it were an equation, it might look like this. So let's show this next slide. There we go. Godliness plus contentment equals great gain, right? Very simple, very easy. But we tend to turn the equation around to look like this, which it makes the meaning something very different. Godliness plus great gain equals contentment. We all do it. When we're in love with money, we think we can't be happy without more of it. Here's how Ron Blue, a Christian man, an author who dedicated his whole life to helping people find financial freedom. Here's how he puts it. He says, having the cash to buy or do whatever you please does not guarantee contentment. The content person is one who can be separated from her possessions without being undone. Consequently, she does not have to live in fear of loss. Isn't that the truth about relationships, even? Contentment is the place where we aren't afraid of losing anyone. And therefore, our relationship with money and stuff, it doesn't mean that we can't have it, but we're not in love with it. We aren't afraid of losing it all the time or protecting what we have. So let me ask you this question. What would it take for you to be content or more content? So glad you asked. So helpful when you ask me that question. So this committed relationship with contentment depends on one thing as its foundation. So let's look one more time at that verse from Hebrews 13 and what the author has to say to us today. Here's what it says. After telling us about not being in love with money, it goes on to say, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? You know, for the longest time, I had heard that verse about God never leaving us or forsaking us, but I easily forgot or forget sometimes even now that the context of that verse has to do with finances. And it makes me think that this is saying that in no area of our lives is the faithfulness of God more important than becoming people who've broken off things with the love of money and becoming committed to contentment instead. Ultimately, our love affair with money is driven most powerfully by our fear. Fear that we'll be miserable without it. Fear that life just won't be the same. Fear that without lots of it, we just won't be able to live a satisfying life. And so the author of Hebrews is saying to us, is showing us how it's supposed to be done, that God is who I can count on for my life to be meaningful and satisfying and good. That's not money. That's not money's place. And so therefore, I will not be afraid because I have the Lord. It may sound easy to sit here and to say, don't worry about tomorrow. But as I mentioned, this is something that has been difficult for me personally. I know that I'm fearful at times. I know that at times I've chased the almighty dollar instead of the almighty God. But I also know that there's a difference too. One way offers a life of stress, a life of fear, a life of chasing, and the other offers a life of contentment, joy, purpose that God wants us to experience. This is the problem that Jesus came to remedy, right? Not just our financial woes, but anything that enslaves us. He wants to deliver us out of that. Jesus stepped into our world to rescue us out of those places where sin has such a tight grip on us. He died for our sin, atoned for it, to break us out and to give us freedom instead. Many of us want him to be our savior, but many of us, we choose to go right back into those places of slavery despite having been forgiven. Listen to the Apostle Paul's warning elsewhere in the New Testament. This is from Galatians chapter 5. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And we don't go back to that slavery, not any form of it, including financial slavery. What would it take for you to be more content? What changes need to be made to your relationship with money? Have you developed a long-term commitment to contentment instead? Just when I think I've got this whole money thing down and trust with God thing down, a series like this comes along and it dislodges me. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the good news. I might not even think I have a problem with this until the scriptures reveal there are some places in my life where I don't trust fully, where I'm depending on something else, and that something else is enslaving me. So listen up, Harbor, as we close this message today, we're not meant to be a people who are enslaved. We're meant to be free, and we're meant to be content, so that we chase the one and only one in life that is worthy of chasing. That's the Almighty God, and never the Almighty Dollar. Let's pray. Father, you've created us. You know our greatest desires, our greatest insecurities. We confess that at times we've desired lots of other things to provide our security rather than counting on you. And for many of us, God, it's our finances, it's our 401ks, it's our investments, it's the stock market. For most of us, it's easy to get wrapped around the axle of money. We may not want to be rich, but that doesn't stop us from trusting that more. What we need to be is to be content, God. And so we ask for forgiveness from those places in our lives, God, where we have trusted in this thing, where we have been a slave to something else. And we need you, Jesus. And we pray that you give us the strength to live differently from here on out. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.